Well, this is Archie Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming in beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Catherine Sanders, and we're talking about her book, Wicca's Charm, Understanding the Spiritual Hunger Behind the Rise of Modern Witchcraft and Pagan Spirituality. Catherine, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how it was that you got involved in studying a modern-day Wicca, and, of course, it was the modern-day manifestation of the ancient witchcraft, but, of course, it's really totally modern-day creation. It has no ties necessarily, to any of the ancient religions as such.
Right, that's true. My background is journalism, actually. I've been a reporter in Washington, D.C. for a while. I worked in radio myself for a number of years as a producer of a talk show. And was assigned to write an article on Wicca as a magazine reporter, honestly, and didn't really know much about it at the time. That led to further investigation on my part as I discovered that it actually was growing in popularity. My first clue was I asked a group of five 17-year-old girls at my church, how many of you have Wiccan friends? And they all raised their hands. So that clued me in that this is not something that is sort of, you know, practiced by a small, insignificant minority group. If, you know, quite a few people, suburban teenagers in Washington, D.C., are practicing this quite openly. And then that led me to do some further investigation. I won a journalism fellowship and ended up researching this for a year. And ended up writing this book.
Well, I think really what's so fascinating about it is the fact that these young girls, so many of them are girls, you know, have gone into this, as you point out, because they're disillusioned with the church, and they're looking for something spiritual. And there really is something spiritual there. There's a power that they can tap into by one means or another that really does give them a supernatural a tie to what I would refer to as this other force that's out there. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes, it's definitely true. I think that so much of our secular culture doesn't really believe in the supernatural. Pollster George Barna wrote, I think, that even, you know, 65% of Americans don't even believe in the person of Satan. You know, there's just this sort of lack of belief in so much of secular America in that. And you also find in a lot of mainline churches that people have really sort of, the supernatural really isn't given a lot of prominence. And so you have girls, I found, Wiccans tend to be two-thirds female, third male. The people that are Wiccan are interested in what I would call, quote, a spirituality that's real. They don't really feel like the church, I mean, I feel like they're sort of misinformed on this front, that they feel like, oh, the church is just boring. It's what my parents dragged me to. It's full of boring sermons and old men. There's nothing real or supernatural in the church. I'm going to go find my own supernatural that's real. And they do. I mean, Wicca is very real. One thing that Wiccans and the message of the gospel would agree on is that the supernatural is very real. There is an other spirit world out there that's all too real that they can tap into, and they do.
And I think it's really so important that people understand that this is not imaginary. It is a very real force. You can tap into it, but of course you should do at your own jeopardy. And we're going to explore this more and more. This is a fascinating book. Wicca's Charm, what could be charming about Wicca? Well, when you finish reading the book, why, you'll understand the very real force that so many of our young people, the trap that they're falling into. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Edward Sanders. Her book is Wicca's Charm, and it's really going into the background of the growing Wicca movement here in the United States, which has such an appeal for so many of our young women. About two-thirds of the people in Wicca are of girls, about one-third of young boys, but it seems to be mostly young people, although there are a few older people. Could you go a little bit into the background of where this is and how Wicca differs from witchcraft?
Well, I think that Wicca is it's a form of modern pagan witchcraft. If your listeners would think back to the religions or spiritualities practiced pre-Christianity, pre-Judaism, this is the sort of thing that people today are trying to tap into, sort of pre-Christian pagan witchcraft, pagan spirituality, sort of the sorcerers and magicians of old. If you think of ancient Babylon or the Egyptians, you know, this is sort of the type of thing that they're trying to tap into. And the name Wicca actually is an Anglo-Saxon word that means to bend or shape. Some other people like to think of the word Wicca to mean wise one, meaning sort of like the wise person of the community who's gifted in healing and, you know, various different things that we would associate, you know, witch doctors with, that kind of thing. But I think sometimes people can think of, because Satan worshippers also call themselves witches, and so sometimes I think that can confuse people, because Wiccans themselves actually don't even believe in Satan. They would say, no, he's part of the Christian tradition. We are pre-Christian in our beliefs. We believe in paganism. But I would say that they are tapping into a supernatural force. And obviously I think Christians and Wiccans will always differ as to what that is that they're tapping into. But that's sort of where the difference is between Wiccans and perhaps the stereotypical view that we might have of actual witches.
And of course, isn't the Wiccans something really a very, very recent origin, really within the last century, a product of a man named Mr. Gardner and, of course, our good friend Aleister Crowley?
Right. It's very interesting. Wicca actually came about in the middle of the 20th century, a very sort of flamboyant civil servant, British civil servant, who'd spent much of his life living overseas. It came back to Great Britain in the 1930s and claimed to have stumbled across an authentic coven of witches in the New Forest. And he said that these people...
Hold that thought right there. We're going to bring our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Sanders. We're talking about her book, The Charm of Witch, or I should say Wicca's Charm is the title of the book. And we're going to the background of this. Now, what people have to understand is there's a difference between witchcraft and Wiccan. And Wicca is certainly rapidly growing in this country. And it really begins with a gentleman named, what was his name, Gardner?
Yes, Gerald Gardner.
Gerald Gardner, go ahead.
He was a British civil servant, actually, living in the middle of the 20th century. It's kind of an interesting story. He was wandering one day in the New Forest, which is a forest in the south of England, and came across what he claimed to be an authentic coven of witches. And he said that these people were practicing the ancient pagan religion of the British Isles, which he said was witchcraft. And he said, I have discovered it. These people are the practitioners, and I have discovered this authentic coven, and I am going to shed the light on this and bring this to the fore in British culture. And he wrote several books that he got a lot of information from various sources, some of it from his own imagination, and claimed he actually coined the term Wicca. He said that he called it Wicca, the craft of the wise. You know, he was essentially shedding light on this ancient practice. What's interesting is that a lot of what he used was indeed borrowed. You mentioned Aleister Crowley, who, in fact, one prominent Wiccan that I mentioned. She's a lawyer in New York. She called him the quote enfant terrible of the 20th century magic. He was rather a lyric character into all kinds of odd ritual sex magic. He had treated women with a lot of contempt, was into all kinds of strange magical practices. And Gerald Gardner took actually a lot of Crowley's rituals and just rewrote them and tried to just make them seem a little more sort of kindler, gentler, as it were.
Well, of course, but Aleister Crowley was a Satanist. Now, I don't think the average Wiccan realizes that at least part of their rituals comes from Crowley as well as from Gerald Gardner, and that some of the rituals that they're involved in originate with this man who was really, I don't think anybody who's ever studied him would question that he was a Satanist. In fact, he lived on Loch Ness in Scotland, and everybody referred to him there as the other Loch Ness monster. He was truly a horrible, horrible individual.
Right. He actually, I think, referred to himself as the Beast 666.
Right.
You know, something like that. And, I mean, what I found that was so interesting is, I mean, you don't have to do much research at all to find that Gardner took a lot of Crowley's material. And you ask, but I would ask a lot of Wiccans, well, do you know, especially teenagers, have you ever heard of Aleister Crowley? Do you know who Gerald Gardner is? And they would just look at me blankly and say, well, no. And they just had never, I mean, because they'd gotten a lot of their information on Wicca from the internet or, you know, watching television shows, and they have absolutely no idea the roots of this. And as, you know, all scholars who studied this will point out, if you're involved with Wicca, you must deal with Crowley and his influence on it.
But of course they really don't know this, and these are impressionable young girls who are looking for a meaning for life. They've rejected the Christian church because they find it boring. They think that it's really, it's sort of that looks down on women as a second-class citizens. And of course you're pointing out that many of the things that the young people believe, you know, is that at least there is some element of truth in them.
Right, absolutely. You know, a lot of the things that they're seeking, I think, you know, are not necessarily bad things. I mean, wanting something, an authentic spirituality, wanting something that honors them as women. I mean, these are not necessarily bad yearnings. But unfortunately, they are seeking them in a place where I don't think they're going to find ultimate peace.
And, of course, they don't understand the history of the pagan religions, as you point out. You know, what is the place of, certainly, of the women in the Muslim religion? What is the place of women in the Hindu religion, where the wives are supposed to be thrown onto the funeral pyre? What is the place of the woman in so many of the other religions of the world, where they simply are really no better than animals?
Right. Well, the interesting thing is that a lot of people are seeking a quote-unquote, you know, spirituality that's friendly towards women, that they embrace Wicca, because of Wicca's emphasis on Mother Earth, who they would call the Great Mother Goddess. And they say, oh, we want to hearken back to a time where people lived in peaceful harmony and worshiped Mother Earth and Mother Goddess, and women were honored. And, you know, scholars have pointed out that we really can't find, necessarily prove that there was such a time, one. And two, the sort of the theology, if you will, a theology with an A probably, not obviously theology with an O in the middle, the theology behind Wicca is essentially pantheistic. They believe that the divine is in everything, which means that a woman herself has absolutely no more dignity than rocks, flowers, trees. I mean, there was a great Christian missionary who went to India in the 1900s named William Carey, and he went into the cultures there, and they were goddess-worshipping cultures, and they were, burning, like you say, you know, the women on the funeral pyre. And he came across one instance where these women were giving their babies to the, quote, sort of mother river Ganges, because they were saying, oh, we need to appease our great mother goddess. And he said, no, because you're made in the image of God, you have dignity as women. And this is actually the Christian worldview. And what is so interesting is that so many girls are seeking this outside of Christianity. They think that there's actually basis for their dignity within Wicca, but actually it's pretty thin. There really isn't any special basis for their dignity. I mean, the Christian doctrine that we are made in the image of God, which so motivated the abolitionists, for instance, to abolish slavery, that, you know, an African-American woman has the same dignity as a white woman, this is what motivated the Christians. And paganism really doesn't have anything to address that.
And really, Chris, well, I enjoyed your book, which you were writing from a Christian point of view, how you could possibly deal with young people like this. This is the most rapidly growing religion in America today. And, you know, so what most people don't understand is how many, you know, upper middle class girls, poor girls too, but I'm sure probably even more upper middle class girls, you know, are getting into this, whether they come from Catholic families or Jewish families or Protestant families, or maybe they don't have any religious belief, but most of them come from families with a religious belief, don't they?
Yes, most of them do, actually. It's very interesting. You know, it is quite popular in high schools, and in fact, Harvard University's Pluralism Project notes there are at least 100 Wiccan and pagan groups, you know, accredited groups on college campuses. There's one university that I know of that actually gives Wiccan students holidays off. For instance, if you're a Jewish student at this college, you get Yom Kippur and, you know, Rosh Hashanah. But if you are a Wiccan, you get, you know, the solstices off and other times to do your rituals. And yeah. So it's just extremely, you know, mainstream.
They've got a lot more holidays than we do. They got the four solstices, and then they got, you know, a couple of other, three or four others. So they do pretty well with holidays, don't they?
They do. They have eight that they would probably ask for time off if they're in school. No, it is interesting. It's definitely not something that is just sort of on the fringe in our culture. It's definitely part of it.
But I think one of the things you said, which really struck me, is that as you talk to these young ladies, you talk to an awful lot of them and a few men, but mostly young ladies, and they all know that there is something there. There is a very real power that they're tapping into. A lot of people out here listening to the audience don't understand that there really is this other dimension that you can tap into. I'll never forget when I had a witch write to me. She was furious for the remarks I'd made on a television program. And she said, you know, we're really awfully good people. We're not Luciferians. We don't believe in Satan. All we do is we cast spells and have our rites and rituals so that we can contact the beings from another dimension.
Right,
the beings
right.
from another dimension. Now, they've recognized the other dimension, and that is where the power comes from, isn't it?
It is. I think, you know, every Wiccan that I spoke to told me, I mean, every single one said, oh, yes, there is another dimension. Like you said, there are these beings, entities that they call upon in rites, rituals, and spell casting. They believe, you know, very strongly in the supernatural, and not one of them denied that to me. I don't think that they would be Wiccan if they didn't believe in that. It's very, very real, and, you know, especially they do tap into it. The interesting thing that I found, this is really, really fascinating, I interviewed a number of older folks who've been practicing for a while, and then, you know, a large number of young people. And the older Wiccans were rather, this is just very interesting, they were rather concerned at the young dabblers who were just reading things on the internet and calling on certain supernatural forces. There was sort of this disapproval of this, that they weren't doing this under any kind of guidance, which I thought that was very interesting.
And of course, some of the people you talked to really almost were afraid. They knew that there was something almost sinister there. Some of them even had this awareness of a being there that would, when they would conjure out the spells, there would be you used the word presence.
Right. Yes. And they all told me that.
Didn't they have any idea what this presence was?
No, they would usually just say it was some sort of negative, very bad spirit.
And, of course, that sometimes this presence would, after they contacted it, it would follow them. They'd try to get away from it, and it would follow them. Was that right?
Yes, it did. It would. And every Wiccan I spoke to actually told me that they had at least had one frightening experience, which I thought was interesting. And I would ask them, well, why are you practicing something that's frightening? And they say, well, it's the only thing that has meaning for me in my life.
It's the only thing that has meaning. And I really think, what a tragic commentary it is on the modern day church when young people are turning to the dark side, because it's the only thing that has meaning. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered
about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea. Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 and the route there, Eastern Coast, a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book in the world that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV or
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Catherine Sanders, and her book, Wicca's Charm. And we think this is a good enough book that we want to carry it and offer it to you, because Catherine has talked to an awful lot of these young people, and so many of them high school girls and going into college. Some of them, of course, have parents who are into this, and it's really fascinating, you know, of course, as they begin to find the various rituals and rites and the ability to cast spells, and they actually can't cast spells and have an influence on things. At least they feel they can, can't they?
Yes, it's interesting. I remember talking to a teenager who attended an elite high school in Washington, D.C., actually. Her the classmates are probably the sons and daughters of senators and congressmen. And I asked her, well, now, do spells work? And she said, oh, too well sometimes. You know, she sort of giggled. And I remember another girl at her high school pagan club, actually.
The pagan club at the high school, right?
Pagan club at the high school, yes. It was in California, Northern California, a high school out in sort of a ranching community, had a accredited pagan club, alongside presumably the Christian and the Jewish ones. And she told me her classmates were all chatting about how, you know, they practice Wicca and, oh, it was really good and affirming to them. And she actually kind of tugged at my sleeve and whispered to me, she said, actually, Wicca is not all that nice and safe. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, oh, I've had a frightening experience. I can't sleep with the light off anymore. I have to turn it off. And I said, well, tell me, you know, what happened? And she said that, you know, she and her friends were, you know, engaging in a ritual. And she said that they did feel this presence. And she said, oh, well, we hadn't protected ourselves against it. And she said it was really, really frightening. And all of us felt it, and we ran out of the house, and she said they were running around in the town, and they really felt that it was following them. And it was, I was just, and she said, so no, Wicca's not all that nice and safe. And I asked her, I said, well, why do you keep practicing this? And like I said before the break, she told me, well, it's because it's all that has meaning to me. She said, I have to believe. And she told me that, you know, her parents, she'd grown up, in a family where, you know, her parents were sort of apathetic about church, and, you know, she really didn't have, a very good impression of church. And, I mean, I think she sort of really had no impression at all, really, except for it was somewhere she went, you know, on an occasional basis. And she ended up finding more meaning in this. And, yes, it is real, and every single person I talked to told me that.
And, of course, Christianity should be just as real to people, but unfortunately, many times it is not. People can't see how it really applies. A lot of old stories about what happened a long time ago, a lot of nice stories about Jesus, but how does that affect me in my everyday life? And, of course, that is an important thing, an important question we have to be able to answer in the churches. We have to address the problems and the reality of the supernatural. It's not imaginary. It's not something you only see on Monday night on NBC in the media, or the other movies we have, and the wonderful stories about ghosts and goblins. But there really is an element of evil out there. And until people understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of our young people, and we're losing that battle. In fact, most people don't even know the battle is going on. Would you agree with that or not?
Yes, I would. I think that I know Oz Guinness, who's quite a famous writer. He wrote a book 30 years ago called The Dust of Death, where he says that people in mainline churches don't believe in the supernatural. He said they're often the last people to believe in the supernatural. He says they're lulled to sleep by their smug rationalism. And I think that we so try to rationalize everything in our modern society, and that we are sort of in control of everything, and there is no force greater than us. But actually, you know, obviously Christianity teaches that's not the case, and Judaism as well, of course. But I think that people might have a sense that there's something out there, but they tend not to really think about it very much.
Well, I think we have to think about it. We have to address the fact that there's a spiritual battle going on for the hearts of men and the survival of civilization as we know it. I mean, the pagan movement is growing, and it's growing very rapidly in America, and I think that your book brings that out very, very well, Catherine. And this is not imaginary. It's not something pie in the sky. It is capturing the minds and hearts and imagination of so many of our young people. And if we don't have answers for them, why, they're going to be lost and doomed forever. And this book really does answer those questions, because it's written from a very much of a Christian point of view. How do you address the Wiccans? How do you address these young people and tell them they're going the wrong direction? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunnigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Sanders, and we're going to take calls, I think. I hope that you'll want to actually ask Catherine. She's done a lot of hard work on this book, and we're going to be carrying the book, Wicker's Charm. It's not that expensive, but it's got a very, very powerful message. And I think for every a parent who has a child, you know, there's so much material out there that is attracting children into this. In fact, she has a section here on Harry Potter. But if you'd like to give us a call, number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you think that Harry Potter is attracting attention of our young people or towards the occult, towards the dark side?
Well, what's interesting about Harry Potter is that I think that J.K. Rowling, who wrote it, I'm sure that everyone has a different opinion on why, but I don't know that she necessarily set out with that in mind. But I have talked to several publishers, and they told me that you know, yes, the interest in Harry Potter made them want to publish books about Wicca and that are slightly more serious. And so actually, you know, as it runs the gamut of books for kids, actually Harry Potter is probably the more sort of, I don't know, not as harmful end, whereas you have books. If you go to any large bookstore, you'll have the Harry Potter books, and then you'll actually have novels and things for, you know, just there's a slew of things that were published that aren't based explicitly on Wicca. The thing about Harry Potter that's interesting is it has characters that are actually good and evil, and good triumphs over evil. You know,
but aren't they all coming from the dark side? Certainly everybody at Hogwarts is into the occult. Some of them are good witches, some of them are bad witches, but, you know, aren't they all basically drawing their power from the dark side?
Right, yes, yes. But I think that, you know, as far as, like, you know, on the scale, I think, you know, there are some that are, you know, Harry Potter, as far as, like, how it relates to Wicca, Harry Potter itself isn't promoting Wicca itself, but it is promoting an interest in that. And you've got, you know, a child might read that and could go and find all they need in on the Internet to actually cast spells. And, I mean, in large bookstores, they actually have little spell kits. I had a couple of these that I bought. You know, they have little sort of pop-up pagan altars that you can have in your bedroom.
A pop-up pagan altar that you can have in your bedroom?
Yes, yes. If you, I mean, if your listeners want it, I mean, you could find it online. You can go to, I mean, I found it at, a, you know, a large bookstore chain that we would all know. It was just right on the shelf. It was a little cardboard box, and it had a little sort of pop-up altar that you could just have in the corner of your bedroom, just, you know, or in your closet. And it's you know, and I asked, it was interesting, I asked the people that published it or that manufactured it, and I said, well, now, do you think that this is at all serious? I mean, do you think that any of this, you know, do you take this seriously? And he said, oh, no, it's all just good fun. But what's interesting is that the Wiccans that I talked to, especially the older ones, said, we don't think that's funny at all. It's actually very serious. And the fact that people are marketing little altars to, you know, to teenagers, and those teenagers are using them, they told me that actually frightens them. And these are the Wiccans talking.
And it should frighten every single one of us. But you see, there's so many ways to get into the occult, through Ouija boards, or through the sorcery, or through mediums, or fortune-telling. All these things, certainly divining a means of getting into the occult. To tap into these dark spirits and forces. Well, let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Mike's a personal friend. Mike was into the occult for how long were you into the occult, Mike?
19 years.
19 years. So you can speak from firsthand a point of view from the other side.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, as a new Christian, age 36, I came into the church and into the teachings of the Bible, and I was amazed at the lack of awareness, like your guest was saying, about the awareness of the supernatural and the evil. And I was thinking, the more I went, the more I thought, well, these people ought to know more than anybody else in the world about the supernatural and the evil. But quite the opposite was true. And down that vein, I wanted to ask your guest if she's aware of the occult and Wiccan practices in the church. Specifically, does she know about this new movement? And they call themselves by several names, the Emerging Church, the Relevant Church, the Vintage Faith Church. They are introducing Wiccan practices into the church. They've even taken over a local Presbyterian church, and elders in that church have even been practicing contemplative prayer with their own labyrinth for I don't know how long. And so I just want to ask if she was aware of this movement.
Are you aware at all of the fact that many of these practices actually have, perhaps not under the name of Wicca, but this similar experiential movement within the Christian church, tapping into this unknown source for power?
I do have a section in my book actually called, you know, it's all about the church, how people want to change the church. There are definitely movements that are interested in bringing in, you know, Wiccan and pagan practices into churches. I interviewed, you know, quite a few people, and what I thought was interesting was I interviewed this one person who, you know, like yourself, had been involved in the occult. She had been a Wiccan and had come out of it after sort of a frightening experience. And she, when I told her, I said, well, you know that people are starting to practice Wicca in churches, and she just was shocked. She said, those people don't know what they're doing. They think they're celebrating their womanhood, but they're actually dealing with something very serious. And she said they really need to be aware of that.
Well,
and
it's
there's lots of different, a lot of it has come about through women in particular who have more sort of feminist leanings, want to bring sort of goddess worship into churches. I came across a group that, a group of Catholic women who were practicing rituals done by the witch Starhawk, in you know, as part of their Catholic practices. There was actually an interesting case here in the Washington D.C. area where a Methodist bishop was found by one of her the priests under her to have been involved in a Wiccan ritual.
Right.
And they actually brought charges against her, but they were, when they got up to the highest level, they were dropped.
And you even talk about Matthew Fox, who certainly, wasn't he a defrocked Catholic priest, or what was he?
He was. He was a Dominican, and he was defrocked, yes. And
now he's become a Protestant?
He was ordained an Episcopalian in California.
All right, fine. So we've got real problems. We've got problems the one thing that these people fear is Christianity. And, of course, if they can destroy Christianity, then there is, of course, no way to stop this movement from dominating our society. And unfortunately, in my opinion, they got into our churches 50, 75 years ago, began to take over our seminaries, and this is not the sort of thing that is taught. The reality of the supernatural is not taught to so many of our ministers or to our priests. Anything else, Mike, you want to say?
Well, just a little clarification. I agree with what you were saying, that this emerging church, vintage faith thing, doesn't present itself as Wiccan. It presents itself as Christian. But it's absolutely deceptive, and they do lie. Whether they know it or not, I wouldn't exactly call them liars, but they are spreading and teaching lies. They are replacing true prayer and worship with this contemplative labyrinth usage, which is thoroughly occultic and actually demonizes people who walk it. And they pray in hand-holding circles, which carries really obscene... it's a symbol they're creating with their own bodies, which is really an obscene occultic symbol, which I don't want to get into on the air like this. And it really just goes on and on, and we have to find ways to expose it so that those who have ears to hear can find their way out of it and lead their loved ones out of it.
All right. Thanks very much, Mike. And let's go to Larry calling from Arizona. Larry, do you have a question for our guest, Larry?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Stan. I'm very interested in this subject. I have a niece that's getting involved with this witchcraft. Question I have is, Dr. Stan, you're always bringing up about the music in the church, and it was brought up before in this program about how a lot of the young kids today, they feel like church is boring, so it's kind of like a paradox. If we go back to only singing old hymns, how are we going to get the children interested into the church?
Well, I think, of course, we have to have the teaching in the church explaining to them how what is going on today is relevant. I think the old hymns have a great message in them, and I certainly think that rock music, some of this comes right out of the very pit of hell. And so what we need to do is revitalize the church and make it relevant to what's going on today. And certainly we want to teach the scriptures, we want to have a Bible study, but we've got to warn people about how these forces are at work in every aspect of our society. It can be done. This is what we try to do right here on our programs 5 hours a day. Anything else you want to say, Larry?
I'd like to hear your guest comment on
that. All right. Catherine, how would you respond to Larry's comment?
Well, I think when talking to teenagers, I think that a really good approach is to start out asking them why they have an interest in this and listen and see what is it that you think is interesting. And then I think mentioning the person of Jesus and who he was and what he stood for tends to work with them, and he tends to resonate. Not one person I met, not one Wiccan, ever had anything bad to say about him. So I think, you know, going with him and how did he treat women and how did he treat those around him and what could, you know, and ask them to think, well, now, if he is who he says he is, you know, let's ask them to really consider that. And, you know, a lot of times these kids will say, well, I just want something that seems real and I want something that, you know, I can kind of, you know, that's kind of fun. And, you know, obviously we can say then, you know, well, Christianity is very real and you can use examples and talk to them about that. I mean, I found that sometimes the Bible, the Message, can be a good thing for teenagers to read. It's not, you know, it's a paraphrase, but maybe start them with that. They might not find that quite as, you know, I think Bono endorsed it. So those are just some different approaches, and really the person of Jesus tends to resonate, I find.
Well, I personally think that the Word of God is the strongest thing that we can possibly have, and I, for instance, if you can get people just to sit down and read the book of John. And, of course, I happen to prefer the King James. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I personally think that that the original word of God, rather than the paraphrases, is much closer to the original text. Anyway, now, if and you're out the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, you know, hearing comes from, upon me, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So I think that we need to get these young people into the Word of God. I think that that is the thing that's going to give meaning for them. And this wonderful, wonderful story of Jesus Christ and how he actually was able to transform the world.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Larry, did you have anything else you wanted to say? Larry, I guess we lost Larry. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest is Catherine Sanders, her book, Wicca's Charm. And, of course, Catherine goes into her conversation with these young people who are really searching for something. And so many of them have said they've been to church, they've sat there, and they found it boring. But there is a search for spirituality. Wasn't that sort of a common denominator of all of these young people? A search for spirituality and true meaning for life?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think that it's good to affirm those things that they're seeking. When you talk to them, those are good things. I mean, I think that's actually something that when God created in our hearts, you know, Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician who converted to Christianity, called it the God-shaped void. I think that we are created to be in a relationship with God. And I think that these people are probably seeking, but they're just seeking in the wrong place.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Ken, who's calling from Seal Beach. Hi, Ken. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I had a comment. I just wanted to tell the people who are listening that how dangerous this Wicca is. The writer John Keel, who has written 20 books on the occult, never realized that after writing his first 5 books that a demon would attack him, and I mean he almost lost his mind, and he writes about it in one of his books, and he was an atheist until this happened, and now he realizes that there's a battle between God and Lucifer. I don't know that he's a Christian, but at least he realizes that evil is palpable.
And I think that's really what we all have to recognize, is that there is a spiritual battle going on, and we're going to have to choose one side for the other, or the other. There is no middle ground.
I agree.
God bless. Thanks very much. Let's go quickly to David calling from Alabama, and then we'll get back to Mike. David, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, my comment is...
You've got your radio on in the background. We can hear it.
Okay, but that Wicca and that... thing that they're trying to receive from the dark side, that's the very thing that Jesus cast out.
Right.
And he started his ministry.
And he warned against the divine. He warned against witchcraft. He warned against this, looking into the supernatural. And
why would they want something that Jesus casting out, you know?
Because they don't really understand it. They do not have the Bible knowledge. And that's what you and I and certainly what Catherine have to get out. That's our purpose, and that's why we do what we do. Anything else you want to say, David?
That's it. Thank you. Keep up the good work, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Let's go back to Mike. Mike, did you have another question?
Well, quickly, regarding the occult and Wicca in the church, the Message Bible is one of the vehicles by which that's happening. The Message Bible is not a translation. It's a horrible paraphrase. It perverts. If you compare Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, in the Message Bible, alongside of the King James, and you'll be grossed out. What the Message Bible is doing really is introducing Hermetic philosophy into the church, into the centerpiece of Christian reading, the Bible itself. And Hermetic philosophy is the foundation of the Egyptian cosmology and their theological system. The Emerald Tablet is something simple that people can read and find on the internet. The Emerald Tablet is the work of Hermes. It's a little bit complicated. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it's also foundational to the New Age movement. If there's one centerpiece document, this would be it, on par with the way the Book of Genesis is. Like the core, beginning point of our...
Does that have anything to do with the Message Bible?
Hmm?
Does that have anything to do with the Message Bible?
Yes, the Hermetic philosophy. Yeah, that's what Eugene Peterson is introducing into the church by way of the Message Bible, just a little bit at a time, but it's a horrible...
All right, fine. Well, thank you. Do you have any thoughts at all? Mike certainly is very, very concerned about the Message Bible.
I think that obviously you wouldn't want to substitute the message for the Bible. I think that you need to, but I mean, as we saw, you know, Paul, when he was on Mars Hill, he would start off by speaking to people in a language that they could understand, and then he ended up telling them the gospel. I think that, you know, I mean, and, you know, Mike might disagree with me on this, but sometimes reading things in paraphrase is a good way to start a conversation, and then you can actually bring them to the real world of God and explain to them more about what is in the scripture, and then give them a, you know, an accurate translation.
All right, fine. Well, some people think they might not want to go to the gospel after they've read the message, but I mean, that isn't me. Anyway, you've done a wonderful job. We really, really love your book, and we will carry it, and hope we can get you on some of our other programs. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Good night. Appreciate it.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to be carrying the book. It's only $13.95 plus shipping, Wicked's Charm, Understanding the Spiritual Hunger Behind the Rise of Modern Witchcraft and Pagan Spirituality. And believe me, it permeates every aspect of our society. And so we also carry, of course, The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. We have a couple of audio tapes with Johanna where she describes her experience as a sorcerer, as an apprentice, as it were, as an apprentice to a psychic healer, who was really able to carry out wonderful, miraculous things. But, of course, it all came from the dark side. And all of the people who had these psychic healings eventually were demonically possessed. So we have this, the beautiful side of evil, Wicca's charm, and we recommend them to my interviews with Johanna Michelson. We will have them in a 4-tape set soon, but you can get those two tape sets, 2 hours, and either on video, on tape or on CDs. Fascinating information. Information you need to know to protect yourself in the battle that's going on today. If you'd like to know more about Aleister Crowley, we have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley, who was instrumental in influencing the intelligence communities of both the United States and of Great Britain. He was actually a British intelligence agent. He was a homosexual. He was a Satanist. He was known as the most evil man in the world. We have the book called Blood on the Altar. We have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley. To put things into perspective, I suggest several videos. We have Megiddo 1, which goes into the prophecies of people like Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus, of course, how they differ from biblical prophecies. Because, of course, certainly the prophets that come from the dark side have a great deal of knowledge, but they're not always correct. And then, of course, we have Megiddo 2, which is the history of this whole incredible movement ending up right at the present time. I'm in that one, talking about the Georgia Guidestones. Yes, they're very real, a pagan center back in Elberton, Georgia, and I've been there. And then, of course, the background of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, the mother of the modern-day New Age, who was a co-mason, who was a Satanist, who dominated both Europe and the United States during the last half of the 19th century. She formed her organization in, 1875, and she lived into the 1890s. But her influence is still there today, and it's being taught in our schools and being taught all across America today. So that's Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. We have the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The story of music, the satanic influence in it, and how all of these people were tied into Aleister Crowley. You can get the 3-hour video, the 4-hour video, the 10-hour video. These are some of the finest videos I've ever seen, and I certainly recommend them to you. That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You must understand the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And you can't understand what's going on in Iraq. You can't understand, the tragedies we've recently seen in the South. You can't understand anything going on unless you understand there is a spiritual battle taking place. And God is sovereign. So go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. If you'd like a free newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one. And certainly our newsletter, on the Occult Hierarchy Part 2, we recommend Who Really Runs the World? Why, it's people who have tapped into this other source of power. And, of course, we don't take what I say. It's what they say. We quote from their writings, the Occult Hierarchy Part 2. You'll find it on our website at radioliberty.com. Or, of course, you will be glad to send you a free copy if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're going to be having our all-day conference here on the 19th of November. Hope that you'll be able to come. If you're going to come, we need to know in advance because, of course, we're going to be serving lunch. And, of course, then we remind you, we do carry the Berkey products. And if you don't have water purifiers, remember, there are a couple of big storms now waiting to come ashore again. So, prepare yourself for the difficult times that lie ahead. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.